6 a.m. The sun's coming up.
We'll just take it.
This is ESPN Chicago. WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Well, we know who's on Fraud Watch this week.
First day in radio, Z-Pack? What happened?
The legal on the basketball U page was not firing.
Sounds like a U problem.
And then on Hotkey 2, I accidentally hit a Matt Nagy drop that was up for some reason. And then I scrambled and panicked. And I'm supposed to be teaching Hannah
not
what
nails.
A radio professional should be.
Yeah, well, yeah. They maybe should hire a radio professional to teach people what a radio professional should be.
Great idea.
You know what? Maybe Hannah will deliver the All Nails team for the week.
I'm not anywhere near it.
Your ass is not on it
no.
this week.
I am on Fraud Watch.
Yeah.
I already had to correct him once, just saying.
That's true.
Oh, my goodness.
That is true. We were all witnesses. We were all witnesses.
Kevin Z-Pack behind the glass, not doing a good job of training today, for all who need to know that.
I get a text from Z-Pack this morning. I'm on the train. Bring donuts.
Oh, so that's why
please.
You brought them?
I said please.
So this guy's getting demanding.
No. You said please in a second text.
I'm a double texter.
No. I feel like if it was a genuine please...
I thought you were just a nice guy.
No.
I didn't know had your balls in a vice.
I brought donuts because I know Kevbo probably been going through it this morning. Probably you don't know what's going on in someone else's life. And there's some demons there. I can see. I see him every time I see him.
Demon's got hands.
He's always ornery.
Yep. If I can improve Kevbo's life, even just one iota, I will. I will. So... Donuts, a simple request, even though he didn't say please. I'll do it.
It's the kind of friend Tyler Aki is. If he can make your day 1% better, he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you would take his advice.
No way, man.
I don't think I got to thank you, but that's okay.
Thank you.
I got demons of my own today, brother.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. College basketball has been underway, but I think a lot of people are parachuting in today. We'll give the parachuter's guide to college basketball at 9:35 today. But today, you're all spartaned up today. You got the Draymond jersey on.
First time in a couple years that I'm like genuinely really excited about my basketball team.
You know it's a big day when Shea's wearing his Draymond Green jersey, his Draymond Green Michigan State jersey at 7 a.m.
Yeah. The schedule was brutal this week.
Did you lay that out for yourself?
No, I was just hanging in the closet.
Okay.
We played last weekend against Illinois, and Illinois fans are still crashing out about the result of that game. My apologies. I enjoyed it immensely. And it was a 6-day gap between Sunday and today when we last played. It's been a brutal week. I haven't been this amped about my team in a few years, and the 6 days took forever.
Top 10.
So today I woke up. Yeah, man. We're number 9 in the nation.
Eight in the nation. Selling yourself.
We're number 8 in the nation. I'm excited. And I woke up. I wanted to put the jersey on. I felt good about it. We're going to go catch the game at a bar in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm jacked. Except there's one problem. And I think other sports fans, like, I'm not making this about myself. I want to hear from the people. 312-332-3776. Is there a building that as a fan, you absolutely hate seeing your team play there? Because today I will experience it. Madison Square Garden has been such a horror show for Michigan State basketball. I don't know what it is. It's like some spectral force over that building where when the green and white crosses the threshold, we just forget how to play. We decide when we enter MSG that we will play with our heads surgically inserted where the sun don't shine. Every time Michigan State plays at MSG, they play the worst brand of basketball imaginable. It has made me hate that building. Hate it. I wish that building would collapse. the mecca of basketball, one of the sports cathedrals in this country. And if I felt like I could compromise its structural integrity and not have legal recourse, I would. If I could commit arson and not have legal recourse, I would burn Madison Square Garden to the ground because I never want to play there. Like, dude, honestly, I need people to understand. If the road to the Final Four goes through Madison Square Garden, Michigan State will get laughed out of that building by UTEP. Like, that's the level of we play horribly when we play there. We would get laughed out of that building by any inferior opponent.
You want to know how to tell if a stadium has demons in it? If there's a train station running through it.
Yeah. Minute Maid Park in Houston. Demon stadium.
MSG. I think TD Garden's got one, too. Listen, have you been to MSG before?
No, and I will never go there to see a Michigan State game.
Maybe that's the way to exercise the demons.
No, man, they just got to do it themselves. Izzo's just got to go in there today and lay a whooping on Rutgers.
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah, it is. It's him. It's all Izzo. This is, like, Izzo's a guy I've held his feet to the fire at times. You lost to Giddy Potts and male pattern baldness with Middle Tennessee State. They just shot the lights out. One of the best teams in school history. Lost to Middle Tennessee State. Your stupid-ass school beating us in Detroit. There are times he had Jaren Jackson sitting on the bench. Top five pick in the NBA draft. Wrote played the bench.
Syracuse played a walk-on in crunch time in that game.
I know. And we lost. Like, there are plenty of times I've held Izzo's feet to the fire. This year, I can't do it. He's been a beautiful coach this year. But this is the one flaw left. Then he has an opportunity to say it's not a thing anymore. Go win an MSG. I refuse to believe there are fans out there who don't feel this way about some building. Like, there has to be an arena in your life that you would collapse if you could.
Yeah. The Yum Center. Louisville.
Is that a house of horrors for Syracuse?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Get clapped there. And it's like when they lose there, they get run out of the gym. But on top of that, too, like when you watch a game at the Yum Center, it's like you're watching all 22 film. The camera's so high up.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
The Carrier Dome has a weird camera angle, though. Your school. It's like very low.
It's very low.
It doesn't really impact basketball, but it impacts football greatly.
Yeah. Basketball, it's low. Football, it's low. Don't love it, but yeah. To be honest, not a huge fan of the Carrier Dome to begin with.
I was going
to
say, I wonder if the Carrier Dome is the building you would collapse. I mean, I'd knock down Spartan Stadium if I could. It's a dump.
Mm-hmm. I think the concept.
And I wouldn't have to watch them play football anymore. Bonus.
I think the concept of the Carrier Dome is great. But the actual execution of the building itself, it's a dump. It's a concrete dump. And, like, I loved going to games there. And maybe I just, like, they have renovated it. I don't know how much of a difference it makes. But, like, walking the concourse there, it feels like you're in Syracuse. And I feel like that's one of the things about these cathedrals. It's like you want to build something that doesn't make you feel like you're in the city. That it's in, especially like these college stadiums that are in kind of these different, like you walk into the fog, right? It's different. You don't feel like you're in Lawrence, Kansas. You walk into Cameron, you walk into the Dean Dome. Like, it doesn't feel like you're in Chapel Hill or Durham. It feels like you're in something bigger than that. And you walk into the dome, you feel like you're in Syracuse, and that is not a compliment.
You feel like you're in the worst part of New York State.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's something with the cathedrals, too. Like, Madison Square Garden is one, obviously. I haven't been there, but I've been to Fenway. And I'll say about Fenway, it's great the first time you go if you haven't experienced it and the history kind of overwhelms you, and it's like Fenway Park, all the storied history of it. That place stinks. The seats are angled horribly. You got to crane your neck to see the action on the field. The seats are all old. It's cramped. If you're taller than 6 feet like I am, you're going to need knee replacements by the end of a nine-inning game.
Tall guy over here.
Dude, it's I get it for the history, and I'm sure if I were a Red Sox fan or I weren't as tall as I am, I would enjoy it more, but I'm neither thing, and you go there, and it's like...
There's probably some surgery that could fix that.
What, I'm going to make myself shorter?
Yeah, a little bone sawing.
Time to become a short king?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Just, dude, I think they're all overrated. And you said about Madison Square Garden, I've never been, but you told me you think it's overrated.
Yeah, like, you walk in, and... It's just kind of there. Like, there's certain parts that are cool. There's certain parts that have where it feels like kind of a museum to a degree. But it's like, I don't know how much of I want of a museum in terms of the atmosphere that I'm in.
Watching on TV, it looks overrated. Whenever I see it, like, you watch it and you're like, okay, it's a basketball arena.
Yeah,
what's the big deal?
It's like, sure, there's celebrities there and stuff like that. But, like, who cares?
And then... tack on to that I hate when my team plays there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather play basketball on the moon than watch them go to Madison Square Garden. I don't know what it is, but that place just decapitates my team's ability to play basketball.
Can I give you one more too? Progressive Field. Even though my team won a World Series there in 2016, in one of the greatest thrill rides in terms of sports in my lifetime, I can do without that place. The left field wall being as tall as it is, and just the walls in general there being as tall as they are, bothers me. And just in general, like the anguish that I like get, and like the whiplash to seeing Rajay Davis and all that, and even like the Jason Kipnis foul ball that went to the moon. Like, all of that kind of gives me a whiplash that I just don't need in my life anymore. So Progressive Field, like, point the laser beam there.
You haven't gone there for Game 5 of the Division Series this year, this past year. I'm good if I never step foot in that building again. What a torture chamber. I mean, really, that was like the end of my happiness in 2024.
I will say I do love enemy territory fanning. And I don't know what made me think of this last night, but maybe it's because they're playing this weekend, but... the Bears go to Philly next year. My mom's from the Philadelphia area, and I'm thinking about making the ultimate enemy territory trip next year.
That one is one that almost seems not fun.
Like, not worth it?
Like, the videos that come out of that place.
Well, yeah, there's the one guy from a couple weeks ago.
I mean, if you're going to do enemy territory, Philly just doesn't seem that fun
to
me.
You'd get eaten alive, brother. That's not for you. You're not that guy.
I'm not built for it.
You're the tiger in the meme. He realized he's not built for this. I have friends who are, like, I had a friend in a group chat yesterday. He's an Eagles fan. And this guy that we mutually know is a Commanders fan and said he bought tickets to go to the NFC title this week. And my friend said, I'm going to tell him that if I see him in the parking lot after the game, win or lose, I'm going to assault him. I'm like, what's going on in Philly, man? What is it?
You hang with bad people, you know they, that?
But
friends with a lot of bad actors.
Yeah, it's probably true. And I think Tom Thayer put it perfectly. They like being that way.
Yeah.
Like
he always references the jail cells in the stadium.
There's something about the Philly fan that likes the fact that their reputation is mean and violent. Mm-hmm. And that it's scary for opposing fans to go there. And so they leaned into it.
Yeah. Listen, I will say that during the Phillies playoff run a couple years ago, I had FOMO. Seeing, like, the fans just into it the whole time. Like, that... I would love to be a Philly sports fan, I think.
I would, too. And, like, people really hate them. And I do think, like, if you're an opposing fan, there are very few trips I would less like to do. But... if I respect the Philly fan, because you will never hate their teams as much as they do.
Yeah.
They will turn on their teams on a coin flip.
Yeah, and you talk about a fan base that kind of gets what they want, too. Like, they blew out Doug Peterson, 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl?
They almost got Sirianni fired last year.
And he may be in the Super Bowl. They're a 6-point favorite to get to the Super Bowl right now.
They are absolute lunatics, but I respect, like, when Castellanos was getting booed and he just looks at you could see him on the mic lip sync, like the lip sync was these effing people.
Mm-hmm. Alec Boehm, too.
I appreciate fans that hate their teams more than you ever could hate their teams.
Yeah. And it's part of it, too, is like I feel like the Philly fan has influenced a lot of the spending there, too. Like, think about it. It is a you-know-what measuring contest between the owners there to see who can spend the most money between the Sixers, the Eagles, and the Phillies.
And, boy, you want to talk about apathy. Philly fans, the Sixers were big in that market, just completely fallen off the map.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies and the Eagles own Philadelphia.
But when the Sixers are good, the Sixers own Philadelphia, too.
Like, and they're the team that has kind of been a disaster in the spending money department. Either they spend the wrong money or they chose to move on from Jimmy Butler. And the fan base
for Tobias Harris
turned on him quickly. Mm-hmm. So it just, I mean, I like Philly fans. I get people who don't, but I do.
Yeah.
I don't have any wish for those buildings to fall apart.
I say that as, like, my mother's a Philly fan. Grew up an Eagles season ticket holder, went to all those games with her dad, and it's just like, it's different. It is different out there. They care. They care big time about everything, and they will hold their owners' asses to the fire.
Yeah.
Best they can.
100%.
It's the only place I've really seen it work,
too. They're great.
Let's go to Sugarland, Texas. Rob, what's going on, Rob?
Morning, guys. Shay knows this. He doesn't have to ask for donuts. If I'm in town, he's getting donuts and some coffee.
I know, Rob.
You know, doesn't have to say please. It's just a given.
Next time you're in town, I got to get you a bottle, too. I remembered.
Yeah, it'll be May.
All right, sounds good.
Memorial Day. But watch the video, if you hadn't seen it, of Mattress Mac at a Phillies game, the Astros Phillies from a couple years ago. That'll give you a taste of the Philly fan. But I want to run by a three-team parlay by you. Spartans, Shea, and Auburn, and U of H against the Fighting Zettermans tonight. Three-team parlay. What do you think?
I think Aki and I are both on Kansas, actually.
Yeah, we have to ally with Justin Pottinger and Zed today.
Look, man, you get points with Kansas in the fog. I think you just got to blindly take that. It's so rare that it happens.
It was the same thing last year.
And they mollywopped Houston.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a funny line, too. I was expecting it to be more. At least that's what I saw. Houston, two-point favorite. So.
Yeah, part of it, though, Rob, is just how hard it is to play in that building. That's one of the most hostile environments in the sport.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for the input. Love listening to the show. You guys have a great day.
Appreciate it, Rob. Good luck today. And that's Rob in Sugarland, Texas. By the way, he brought up Mattress Mac there. Talk about someone that I need to go away. Mattress Mac.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm done.
Blow another $1.5 million on a losing bet. He's
the gimmicks. I'm done.
Whatever. As long as it sells mattresses, I guess it works for him.
Yeah. Do you? No PR is bad PR, right?
Didn't he die?
No. I think he has health issues now, but he's still with us. You don't have to kill him prematurely. Just stop with your gimmicks.
As a former Houstonian, I will have you guys know that he is an institution. He's beloved in that area. So put a little respect on his name.
Are you a Mattress Mac guy? Because you shot me a look when I brought him up, like you were in agreement with me that you were done.
No, I'm a fan. I'm Team Mac, yeah.
Have you been to the mattress store?
No, I have a purple.
But why would... Could you have bought your mattress during, like, his... weren't you down there for, like, an Astros World Series or something?
They made it to the World Series. They lost to Atlanta.
Ah. Would you have bought a mattress?
No, I have a purple. I love it.
Why? Okay, I guess. It could have been a free mattress.
I don't need one. How many times do I have to tell you?
You can double bunk. You can build bunk beds.
Now that is intriguing.
You strike me as an adult bunker.
ESPN? An adult
more
bunker?
Room for activities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do karate in the garage, yeah.
Can you guys just talk about Michigan State again or something? This is screeching halt.
We actually have something else to talk about. And Z-Pak, I'd love your input on this. Because there's a story going around I think everybody's taking a really awful angle on. Where have you seen the Paul Skeens one-of-one rookie debut patch?
Mm-hmm.
The patch from the jersey is in the card. It's a one-of-one card. The people who rate these things say it could be worth up to $1.5 million. So the Pirates knew this card was out there, and they put out a deal for whoever pulls it that if they want to put it in their team museum, and whoever pulls the card, if they give it to the Pirates, will receive 30 years of season tickets. They'll get to play a softball game on the field at PNC Park. They'll get to spend a game in the suite with Livy Dunn. They'll pull out all the stops.
Two if signed you just jerseys.
Give, yeah, two signed Paul Skeens jerseys.
They'll don't know give why you need two, but
sure. Here, all this memorabilia. And this kid that pulled the card, he's 11 years old. Mm-hmm. He's from California. And I don't know if he made the decision or his parents made the decision. I imagine it was a collective decision. They told the Pirates, pound sand. And there are people in the sports talk world who think it's like blasphemy that this kid isn't giving the card to the Pirates. I think that they're right.
Yeah.
The team should pound sand. Well, what do they owe
like,
you?
No, not even like this is not a stick it to the Pirates type of thing. Like, listen,
any team.
I think it's a good offer. Like, if you want,
I don't.
If you were a Pirates fan, that's a tremendous offer.
No shot. No, because
30 years of season tickets behind the plate.
What can I spend that they're giving me?
What do you mean? What can I mean,
what are they giving me that I can spend?
So you just want to take whatever the cash is?
Yes, 100%. Oh, I get to sit in a suite with Livy Dunn? Cool. She'll probably tell me to kick rocks.
All right. If this was a Spencer Torkelson one-of-one rookie card that you pulled, Shea, would you take the Tiger season tickets?
Well, he sucks. I hope he gets traded.
All right. Scooble, then.
No, I wouldn't take the season. Are you out of your mind?
You wouldn't take
Mr. Tiger.
But if the card...
Ernie Harwell over here.
If the card is worth $1.5 million... dollars, I can buy season tickets.
$1.5 million, Shay, with inflation the way it is right now, we're in like the Weimar Republic. People are going to be burning dollar bills to stay warm.
I'm leaving that joke alone. Dude, $1.5 million, if you can't figure out how to invest that, create more money for yourself, and move forward with your life, you could buy season tickets. If I were a Pirates fan and I lived across the street from PNC and I got that offer, I'd tell them to kick rocks. You don't offer me anything that has to do with money. You're a multi-billion-dollar franchise. You can't cut me a check for 800 grand. I'm not even asking for the full 1.5.
Well, they're using this. They'll probably sell the card as a part of the fund that will be paying for Skeens in 5 years.
But they said they wanted it in a museum. There's no way that you take the offer that they're giving you. No way.
I think, well,
it's the same thing if you catch a big time home run ball and they're like, oh, give the ball to the player. No, I'm going to sell the baseball.
It depends. I think all of this depends. I think that if you are I don't think that's a slap in the face offer that the Pirates gave. I don't think it's a slap in the face at all.
I got people in the chat saying 30 years of selling behind the plate tickets could be pretty lucrative. No.
Not in Pittsburgh.
No.
Probably not.
Good luck trying to sell off day games on weekdays. Yeah, best of luck to you.
Dude,
no.
Selling Cubs tickets is a chore. All right? Like
nothing is more lucrative than $1.5 million in my pocket. Nothing. You and the suite with Livy Dunn. Oh, what is she going to do to make that worth it?
Greatest day of your life.
Like, she's not even going to speak to you.
I think that's a MasterCard, like the old MasterCard commercials, like 30 years of season tickets, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, you get to make a TikTok with Livy Dunn, and then she's out of the suite. I got to go check in on my friends. Goodbye. Like, what about this offer is actually worth it?
Suite with Livy Dunn, priceless.
You'd take it just for that, wouldn't you?
Probably. Probably.
No chance, man. There's no chance. You can't take that
this
offer.
This 11-year-old had a chance to unseat the Rizzler.
Okay.
Dethrone him.
Full stop with sports memorabilia. If you catch somebody's 500th home run, I'm getting out of the stadium as quickly as I can. I'm getting it authenticated, and then I'm GTFO, because I'm not going to let you talk me into some bad deal. I want the money. I want things I can spend from getting lucky enough to pull a 101 Skeens card that's worth $1.5 million.
What if it's a guy's first hit? Like, his first hit's a home run, you catch it.
First hit, it depends on the level of prospect, because probably, like, you don't know what that's actually going to be worth down the road. But if it's a true milestone thing, like a 500th home run ball.
What if it's 300th?
300th, the same. Like, I would still, I'd get it authenticated and I'd GTFO. Let me find out. Let me find out how much money I can make on this before I sit in the stadium and make a bad deal because you don't want to let me leave the ballpark.
Well, no, I think you would be smart enough to, like, curate a deal that would be worthwhile for yourself.
I'm full stop. The team has to offer me something I can spend, period.
So a cash offer?
It's got to be. There has to be a monetary aspect to it.
What if the player?
Fine. Offer me something I can spend and we can talk. But if it's here, I'll sign my jersey and give it to you. Yeah, kick rocks. I'm going to go get this taken care of elsewhere.
I would the home run ball or something like that, I would give to the player.
Even I think if you matched what the actual offer is worth from the Pirates, the 30 years of tickets, like, you're probably in the ball. It's hard to price what a softball game at PNC is worth or what a sitting in Livy Dunn's suite is actually worth.
Priceless.
It's maybe for you, man. I can't imagine you're getting more than like $300,000 worth out of it. I can't.
The tickets alone are more than $300,000.
How much do you think 30 years of home plate tickets? Plate? What do they cost in Pittsburgh?
For a single year, probably $100,000.
You think it's that much in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
No way it's that much.
If it's two tickets?
Then they wouldn't be offering 30 years on a card worth $1.5 million if they thought they were giving up $100,000 a year.
What do you think it is, Z-Pac? If you had to guesstimate.
Guesstimate?
30 years of season tickets behind the plate.
More than $1.5 million.
Yeah. I would, because, like, you think about the ticket itself is probably at least $100, all right? Let's say conservatively $100. You're not getting just one. Is it two? You get two, maybe four. I don't know. Two tickets, let's say, so $200 a game times 81 games.
Let's see. Quick Google search says 30 years of tickets behind home plate is worth roughly $200,000 to $500,000.
So that times 30.
No, that's over 30 years.
Over 30 years.
Yeah, I did the math. So it would be $486,000 total over the 30 years.
Nope, not doing it. Not on a card worth $1.5 million. No way. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
You just don't like baseball.
And even if you, that's not true.
Yeah, you don't love the game.
Erroneous. And if you sold every ticket, which would be an impossibility, you would never recoup the investment ever. There's no way that you give up a $1.5 million golden ticket for 30 years of Pirates season tickets.
However, that was with two tickets. So if they're giving you four, then you double that. It's almost a million.
I don't need to see 30 Pirates games in my life.
What if
forget 30 years of tickets?
What the thing that I would ask for, like, I would have gone to the negotiating table if I was this 11-year-old kid, and I would have asked for them to, like, comp all food and drink while I'm there too.
Oh no, I would have gone to the negotiating table. I'd say the card's worth $1.5 million. Give me $750,000, and we have a deal.
What if
you would have undercut by half?
Yeah, I'd make a deal with them. I wouldn't hold them over a barrel, but what they're offering me is worth about $500,000. The card is worth $1.5 million. Let's meet in the middle.
What if they added in that they activated you on the roster for a game and you got to play?
Dude, honestly, what I would want to do, I would want to be first base coach.
Or that. You could do that too.
Make me manager for a year and pay me.
Pay me manager salary?
Not even manager. Pay me $500,000. Make me manager for a year. I'll give you the ticket.
I never knew this side of you. I didn't know you were such a money hungry.
Well, Kevbo,
you know, people should be.
People should be is my point.
Kevbo, who brought in donuts today?
Tyler Rocky.
Who didn't bring in donuts today?
I wasn't asked.
Shay Norling.
I would have if I had been asked.
Seamus Walter Norling the third.
It's not my middle name, and I'm not a third. I'm not even a junior.
Thank God.
You got it. You got to sell the card.
Danny's in Lombard. What's up, Danny?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
How we doing?
Doing well. I think you got to hold on to the card. I think the card's worth more than $1.5 million to the Pirates. I think we're missing the point here that it's one of one. And one of one is very hard to find. There's only one. So the kid is literally has all of the bargaining chips here. He can do whatever he wants. He can hold the card for 30 years. I mean, in order for him to get his return on investment back, he'd have to go to all 30 years of the Pirates games. That sounds terrible. That sounds terrible.
It does.
I mean, and like, it sounds horrible. It sounds miserable. I mean, like, if you're in Pennsylvania, you want to be at a Philly game. You don't want to be at a Pirates game. You just don't. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, that's just the case. So I would take it to the bargaining table, and I wouldn't ask for $750. I'd ask for $1.5 million after taxes, because you're going to pay a hefty tax on a memorabilia sale. So you get your $1.5 million after taxes. And let me tell you, the Pirates can afford it. Like, we're forgetting, this is an 11-year-old kid. This could set this kid up for the rest of his life, and the Pirates want to offer him a softball game on a field and two tickets to see a potentially shitty franchise
Whoa.
For 30 years.
Oops. I mean, all right. That's enough of
but,
Danny.
I mean, Danny, you used coarse language, but if we're real about what's happening, Z-Pack, this is how you have to frame it. Kid's 11 years old. You open that card. You see that card on the table. It's 30 years of Pirates tickets, softball game at PNC, suite with Livy Dunn, or pay off your parents' mortgage and you get to go to college for free.
No, I'm going to take the tickets.
You're an idiot. I'm sorry. That's just
you don't like baseball,
actually,
Shay.
You like what you like. Listen, I would have kept the card and like thought about it. Like, that offer is still going to be on the table in like a year. What, are they going to pull it off the table?
There's no shot I'm taking that offer. What if in a year, if Paul Skenes has another incredible season, the card's worth $2.5 million?
I will say, 11-year-old and family, smart, right out of the gate, they pulled the card and got it authenticated and got a 10.
Yeah, they got it graded.
They got it graded and got a PSA 10, so good for them.
Which, of course, it did. It's one of one. Yeah. But the second they got it graded, the idea you were giving it to the team, gone, done. That card is worth too much money. That card is your future as a family. Like, you have set yourself up by getting lucky to live the life of ease the rest of your life.
You think Paul Skenes wants the card?
Don't care.
No, but like, if I don't care if you don't care, but do you think he wants, there's no way he cares about this card.
I doubt it. I think the team wants it so they can put it in their museum and probably charge a little more on their museum admissions prices.
But like, who's going to a museum to see this baseball card?
Dude, you guys apparently would give it up to the team because you love baseball so much.
No, I would keep the card.
You would keep it?
I would keep
it. Oh, I'd
card
never keep it either.
No,
I'd sell it.
That's the worst possible.
No, well, no. Keep it and then think about it for a little bit. Maybe, like, shop my offers around. Maybe I bring it to Philly. Say, hey, what do you want for this?
You know what you could do? Well, he'll probably end up in Philly or New York or L.A. anyway. But you know what you could do to drive, you know, negotiating? Threaten to destroy the card.
Turn it into the Bartman ball.
Pay me.
We're going to Harry Carey's to blow this MF-er up.
You turn into Dr. Evil and you're like, $2 million, pinky to the lip, or I light this on fire.
You're just the Joker.
Yeah, you're cutting it in half. You're like, how bad you want it?
Some people love to watch the world burn.
$2 million from the Pittsburgh Pirates, or I put this in a safe and drop it to the bottom of the ocean. Up to you.
You have 24 hours.
Yeah, up to you. You got a day to respond. You can pay me $2 million, or I put this in a blast furnace.
Chris is in Suquamish, Washington. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. I just a point here. So you're when you're talking about the valuation, there's a dollar today is worth much, much more than a dollar 30 years from now, right? So that's called the time value of
Absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely.
Right. So that 1.5 you get today, so like a season ticket, so it's $16,000 to buy two season tickets, assuming they're $100 a piece for a pair, right, which is great. But that $16,000 30 years from now, now granted, you'll say, well, inflationary and all that, that that 1.5 that you get, you get to invest that, right? Typical market return, you're looking at 7% on an index fund. That kid's never going to work again, and neither are his parents.
Brother, I did not come here to do math this morning.
I understand.
No, he's right, though. Chris, you're right. It's time value money.
You can invest it, Roth IRAs, all that stuff.
You get $1.5 million today. You pay off your mortgage. You drop $200,000 in a college fund. And the rest of it, you throw in some kind of investment fund. And you're good for the rest of your life versus spending all of your summers at Pirates games.
Right. For giggles, you buy a suite at any game you want for the rest of your life. And at any game, any team, and have a great trip to do it and talk about how you won a patch and that changed the trajectory of your life.
Thanks for the call, Chris. The thought of, like, just ripping open a pack and your life has changed forever is pretty crazy.
It's incredible.
And I think I read, too, like, this kid, he only got one box. Like, he wanted this box because I think he wanted to, like, try to get this. He only got one box. He went one for one.
Did you see the story? Like, he asked his parents for Christmas for a hobby box, and he was telling his mom at the time, he's like, you got to buy it now or it's going to be way more expensive in a few weeks because the way they print these cards,
yeah,
that's the way it works. And she said, no, they didn't get the box. And then it was like $300 more. She's like, we can't do it. So somehow they got a deal on it, and they got this box for $350. And he's like ecstatic. And he opens it and goes, Dad, I just pulled the Skeens card. And his dad's like, no, you didn't. And he showed it to him, and they're like, oh, my God. It changes your life. You can't give it to the team.
I think the most heartwarming aspect of this story is that there's an 11-year-old boy out there who's still into baseball cards and not like Kai Cenat.
COVID brought him back.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shay Norley. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
It's been pulled by an 11-year-old out in California. The Paul Skeens 1/1 rookie patch card. It is worth what's believed to be $1.5 million. The Pirates had an offer on the table that included 30 years of season tickets behind the plates, a softball game for you and friends at PNC Park, coached by Pirates alumni, tour of their spring training facility, and a couple of Paul Skeens signed jerseys and a meet and greet with Paul. And then Livy Dunn upped the ante and said, you know what, you can come sit in the suite with me for a game as well. Kid said no. 11-year-old said no, is just going to hold on to the card for now and probably take it to auction sooner rather than later.
Wow. No, we have an update. Just a couple hours ago, this was put out on MLB.com.
Oh.
The Skeens card will be sold at the Fanatics Collect March Premier Auction. All of Fanatics Collect's proceeds from the Skeens card will be donated directly to Los Angeles Fire Relief Funds.
Wow.
You two wanted to take away from the rebuilding of L.A. That's unbelievable. The Pittsburgh Pirates
you
would have taken
to,
away from the rebuilding.
You wanted
of LA.
To pocket the money.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'm going to be honest, I still would. But why not pocket it and then donate $500,000 to the fire relief funds?
Yeah,
help yourself
I feel
out
like you
too.
Can do both.
What does that money go towards specifically? The fire relief fund. Are they getting more water from Canada? Is that how it's working?
Listen. Can we take the phone calls? I don't want to get into it.
It flows down from Canada. You look at the map; they're above us. 51st
yes,
state.
That is how it works.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kevbo, before we all get in trouble, let's take a phone call.
312-332-3776. Chris in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, everyone.
How we doing?
Good. Let me do a few things. As a collector for over, for 40 years, I've never pulled a card worth more than $300. I mean, I've had the worst luck of anything. So, congrats to the kid, first of all. Second, obviously you sell that card. I mean, you don't know what may happen with Skeens. We've seen these type of anomaly of pitchers who are like super great their first year and then they kind of fall off or they have surgeries. And if you want to take a trip down memory lane when it comes to sports cards and value, look a little further to Mac Jones, the 1/1, I believe it was a Nebula that a 16-year-old kid pulled. Sold it immediately for $100K. How did that work out for Mac Jones?
No kidding.
Yeah, I guess the kid.
And let me tell you, Skeens is a great. He's an anomaly. But as someone who's followed the sport for so long, someone who has that type of arm delivery, action.
Chris, like you're right. And
Tommy
and
John's a
call.
Certainty.
Like his elbow could be a Six Flags carnival turkey leg in a year or two. Like
probably double Tommy John is a certainty.
Yeah, like it's certainly. You know, it's funny he brings that up, like it, how it could be worth nothing at a certain point. I remember I had a I used to do like the card shows, the one up in Rosemont I would go to when I was in like middle school, high school. I like doing that stuff. I had a Michael Kidd Gilchrist rookie Ooh. Auto. And this was like when he was second pick, and I was like, all right, this is like
pretty good.
And I went, there's all these different vendors there, and there was a guy from Kentucky, and he obviously was a huge deal at Kentucky. And he was off, I forget how much he offered me. He probably offered me like a couple hundred dollars, I think, for it. Numbered and everything. I still have the card somewhere.
And now it's just cardboard.
Now it's cardboard with a little ink on it, and I should have taken it.
Of course. I mean, I've held a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander rookie card for a while that I have. I think this year I am going to sell. I will take the, it'd be a couple hundred bucks. It's not going to be a lot, but going to sell it because I don't know what the future holds, and the idea it's ever going to be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. No chance. Yeah. There's no way. Mm-hmm. If you pull a card that's worth this amount of money, you got to get rid of it.
Yep.
Same thing happened to me. I didn't sell my Nick Madrigal rookie card, and look at me now.
It went from $2 to $1. Anthony's in Old Town. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love the show. So basically, here's where I'm at, right? I'm sitting here with my wife, and I've convinced her why it's so important for us to stop investing in these Hot Wheels, right? For my five-year-old kid, we've been buying them since he was two, and pivot towards the cards. So, like, I'll buy the cards and all that, and I don't have this older brother right now hanging over my shoulder like when I was a kid buying my cards and him stealing them. So I convinced her, and then we're hearing this story, and she's like, yeah, I bet the dad wanted the season tickets. And I'm like, why do you say that? And she goes, because you would want the season tickets. So basically the mom put her foot down like, yo, this isn't enough. You know, I'm from Chicago, so that's like me telling my wife, hey, do you want a suite with Reinsdorf? No, nobody wants to sit with the owner, right? Like, like, you've screwed our team so long, right? And the Pirates, let's be honest, we might, out of 30 years, they might get 4 or 5 seasons, right? So yeah. Those tickets aren't worth anything. Based on what I saw, 1.5, I'd come high. I sell solar. I'd be like, look, give me $2 million, right? And then I work my way there. But at the end of the day, the mom put her foot down, right, and donating it to the fires, that's awesome and applicable, but you couldn't afford a $350 box, so maybe I should keep a little bit. Go Bears.
All right. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, listen, they're doing a noble thing. Don't know if it's what you or I would have done, but.
I'm not going to comment on it because it's a good cause. Anything I say, I'm just going to be a bad guy. I'll leave it at that.
Yep. When we come back, if you are parachuting into college hoops, we will give you the guide because today's a great day to start. There's a lot of really good games on. So we'll discuss when we come back.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shay Norling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Kevin Zipak and Hannah LaMotta for producing today's show. All right. Big college basketball game on deck, or day on deck. A lot of good games.
First Saturday without football means it's time. Mm-hmm. Rest on the couch today, go to a bar, get in front of a television, and dive head first.
Because it all starts, like, the first big one starts at like 12:30 today with your team.
Michigan State Rutgers. I hate that place.
Take on Rutgers.
We're 4-16 in MSG all time.
How have you played 20 games at MSG? I guess Champions Classic?
Stupid-ass Big Ten tournaments in New York We had to get Rutgers in Maryland.
Forgot about that one. So the headliners for today, there's two really good ones tonight. 5:30, you've got 7th-ranked Houston going to the Fog to take on number 12, Kansas. And then at 7:30, number 6, Tennessee, going into Auburn to take on the top team in the nation. For people who are just sort of parachuting into the sport this year, college basketball is as strong as it's ever been.
Yeah, it's really good.
When you look at, A, the brands that you've got involved, Duke is great. They've got a generational prospect on their team in Cooper Flagg who has lived up to every bit of the hype. He's put together, he is right now, has the fourth best season in KenPom history working for him right now. And for a while, he was only like the second best player in the sport. Jani Broome at Auburn got injured, but he was having the fourth best KenPom season of all time, and Flagg was having the fifth. So I think that's kind of the dichotomy of where the sport is right now. You've got one of the best freshman classes over the last two decades. And I'm talking like this is better than the year of like Zion and yep. RJ Barrett and Kobe White and all them. It's better than that. And you've also got a blend of really talented, experienced guys as well, like a Jani Broome at Auburn. You've got Cam Jones at Marquette, who's been up as the front runner for the Naismith for portions of the season. You've got guys at like Houston or Tennessee that are just running it all back. Mark Sears at Alabama. Like there's known commodities. Hunter Dickinson at Kansas. There's known commodities in the sport, and there's also fantastic freshmen. By the way, an all-time make-you-feel-old freshman as well, and he plays for your team.
Yep.
Jace Richardson.
Jason Richardson's kid.
Son of Jason. That one hit a little bit.
It did. It made me feel real old. But it's cool. I mean, and look, he's had up and down season a little bit, but there are moments of brilliance. If you're just parachuting into the season, I think there's a couple things you got to know. The SEC is an absolute gauntlet, like truly top to bottom. I think there's a little bit of what the Big Ten used to be happening there, where we'll see how this really plays out when we get to March. But these teams are legitimately awesome.
But I think it's more sustainable than what they've, because it is predicated on what guards are doing.
Yep.
Or like wings. It's not predicated on big men in that league.
It feels like these teams are all built for March. Auburn's a wagon. Tennessee, it has had moments where they haven't looked great, but they've been awesome most of the year. Florida has a really good team. Oh, SEC is loaded.
Kentucky is polar opposite of what you've known Kentucky to be.
Yeah, it is.
Kentucky is all seniors, and they've got one of the best shooters in the country with Kobe Brea. Mark Pope came in there and did an excellent job retooling that roster. Right now, the SEC has 9 of the top 25. And most of those teams are actually top 16. This conference is probably going to have 11, 12 tournament teams when it's all said and done. And rightfully so, because they have just been an absolute juggernaut, and they're gonna have a chance to make some noise. Like, if I gave you SEC or the field right now to win the title, which side would you take? My answer is actually pretty easy.
I'd probably take the field.
I would take the SEC.
Who do you think comes out of it, though?
I could see a number of teams. I think Auburn could win. I think Bama could win. I think Florida could win. I think Kentucky could win. I don't want to say Tennessee could win, but I think they maybe could.
Houston's got a little bit of that never can get over the hump. They're, like, once again, one of the best teams in the sport. Top three KenPom. Mm-hmm. Really, really good team out of the Big 12. They'll play at the Fog later today, you mentioned, against Kansas. But there's a stink on Houston right now where they're going to be one of the top three, four teams in the country every time we get to the tournament. And for whatever reason, they find a way not to get over that hump. So Big 12, like, I struggle with really believing Iowa State can do it. Kansas would probably still be my pick if I had to go with one of them out of the Big 12. But Duke, man, Cooper Flagg is such a unicorn.
Yeah, but like, we've seen this Duke team before. We saw in 2019. And what happened? Your veteran team.
Your guy ain't there no more, though. Coach K's not there anymore.
That's true.
This is a John Shire special.
I'll leave it at that.
If you gave me SEC or the field, like, my worry would just be, obviously the SEC has the majority. I think they have 8 in the top 20 in KenPom. They're insane. The conference is nuts. But there's going to be groupings where SEC teams are in the same bracket, and only one of them can get out. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea that it's going to be 4 SEC teams in the Final Four, probably not going to happen.
No.
And the Big Ten, I know it's down, like, it's ratty, especially towards the bottom. But the top of it, if you want to put Michigan State, Illinois, and Michigan in a hat and you tell me one of those three teams, you could throw Purdue in there. You tell me one of those four teams is in the Final Four, I wouldn't be stunned.
I almost feel like, yeah, this year the Big Ten is a little bit more equipped to handle the tournament because it's not the dominant bigs anymore. It's actually a little bit more guard wing oriented.
Michigan State's got great guard play. Illinois's got really good guard play.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, Purdue even, like they started the year and lately they've been playing much better. They beat the brakes off of Michigan last night at Mackey.
Yeah.
Matt Painter's kind of shifted away from I'm looking for the unicorn seven-footer and gone more guard-oriented.
Well, he still has it.
He does.
He's just injured. But
injury and freshman, like there's just, it's you don't have Zach Edey with levels of experience as the unicorn seven-footer.
But you've got good guards.
Yeah, and they've kind of changed their approach. It's more guard and wing-oriented. Like this year does feel wide open, and the SEC is awesome, but I think a lot of teams at the top of the other power conferences are really, really good.
Yep. All right, that is going to do it for us. Thanks so much for listening. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast. And don't forget, you can find the Pick a Side podcast where Shay and I give you all of our football picks for the weekend. That is all on the Pick a Side podcast. You can find that under the Chicago's College Tailgate tab of the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. We will be back with you next week, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. The Odds Couple with Mike North and Carmen DeFalco is coming up next. Thanks for listening.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
This is ESPN.